Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is indeed our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances are the key to the exercise. A good, honest, moral American people working together and demanding accountability by those who serve them is the answer to the riddle, my fellow Americans. It is the $64,000 answer. The question, how do we restore the republic? How do we avoid revolution but stand for restoration? That's our goal. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. This half hour is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, please think thepowermall.com at 877-817-9829. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. Incredible discounts on Gary Noll products, 10% off. Discounts on books, DVDs, videos, health foods, a whole lot more. Thepowermall.com or 877-817-9829. Without further ado, our guest. Her name is Stephanie Tressel. It's kind of an interesting little tidbit how I met Stephanie. I believe it was like Providence. But nevertheless, she had called me because I have radio software. And she wanted to use it for her talk show. So she called, and usually what happens is people explain to me what they're going to use my software for, just to get my advice or input of how well it'll work. Or, you know, Sam, here's what I'm trying to do. Will this work or whatever? And anyway, it turns out that it would work great for her needs and everything. But I got talking to her, and I learned that she does her own talk show called The Stephanie Tressel Show. And it's on 89 WLS in Chicago. Anyway, long story short, I asked her, you know, kind of what her political take on things were. And anyway, one discussion led to another, and before you know it, wow, I consider Stephanie a friend. She's a Tea Party conservative. She is a Chicago native. She was raised on the West Side, and I don't know if I should say that, probably means the hood or what, but to a single mom. That's Stephanie's story, and I didn't just go, how do I find a black lady who agrees with my opinion? That wasn't my goal. I just met her from this software, and it just turns out that there are Americans standing together all over this country, and our goal is to help you learn more about them. Stephanie, welcome to Liberty Roundtable.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Sam. I'm so happy that you had the same feeling. Like, just by me reaching out per chance regarding the software, that first conversation, I felt like, wow, we really made a connection. And it's always awesome to talk to like-minded people. And I just feel like God put us together. You know, it's just such a pleasure to talk to your audience. And I really appreciate you inviting me on.
I want to learn a little bit more about your growing up. You know what? Tell me what details you want. But growing up on the West Side, I think that might be not the best neighborhood of places to a single mom. Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was in the 70s. So I joke that things weren't as bad as they are now in the city of Chicago. But the West Side is generally the area that a lot of crimes and things like that happen. But my mother, who she hates me saying this, but she didn't graduate from high school recently. The last couple of years, she did get her GED. But I only say that too.
By the way, good for her. Tell her congratulations for us.
Yes, it was awesome that I got to be there. My sister and my brother, we got to see her do this. But I only say that she didn't graduate from high school just as a preface to let you know how much she was able to achieve. She learned how to type really fast, and she always got really good jobs, and she seemed to always want us to have a little bit more than what she had. She made sure we did scouts and we did tap and ballet lessons, which if you saw my sister and I, I'm so happy there's no cell phone footage of the two of us trying to be graceful at a recital. And we were always doing things that nobody else in the neighborhood was doing. And she lost her mother at 13, so foster homes and different things. But she wanted us to just be experienced just a little bit more than what she experienced. And what I love is that God put angels in her life that told my mother, who was struggling, and said, you know what, Regina, you should pay for your kids to go to Catholic school. And that was, you know, $326 per kid back in the day. That's per year. That was a lot of money. But through the fact that Chicago Public Schools would constantly go on strike, and as a single mom who needed to have her kids in school and not take off to deal with them while they're striking, we were put in Catholic schools, which was such a blessing and gave us an opportunity to be educated at a different level than the public schools. Unfortunately, Chicago Public Schools has a cycle of just not educating kids, and it's just a really bad system. And so we were like moving targets in the neighborhood. We were walking around with our uniforms on and people saying, your mother's so stupid for paying tuition, and that's so dumb, and who do you think you are? But I didn't realize the privilege that she was giving us until much later in life, when even though I didn't go off to college and my sister's just very close to getting her master's, but it prepared me for so much more, just having that basic education at the Catholic school in Chicago. But I grew up in Chicago not realizing that we were technically poor until I saw it on the news one day when they showed the income. I'm like, wait, we're poor? But we never felt poor. My mother worked really hard, and we went to Disney World with the Scouts, and we did all these things that a lot of people didn't do. And it just instilled in me that I wanted my kids to do a little bit better than I did and be exposed to a little bit more. And unfortunately, by the time my kids were old enough in the 90s, we were living in Chicago. My husband and I were living in the liberal part of Chicago on the lakefront. And I'm sorry, at that time, I voted for Clinton once. I didn't know any better. I inherited the Democratic Party being born a black woman.
I'm gonna go ahead and forgive you for that one there, Stephanie. It'll be all right.
But it's too funny. So we decided to move to the suburbs because we were paying for our kids to go to Catholic schools, but then the Archdiocese closed it. And we decided, well, let's stop paying tuition. My husband grew up in a suburb where you didn't have to pay for good schools. That was included in your taxes. So we found a suburb, and we raised our children. We have five children, and four of them graduated from this little town in the western suburbs of Chicago in DuPage County, where everyone told me when I initially said I was moving there, well, you can't move there. You won't fit in. There are no black people in DuPage County. Your kids will be ostracized. And all these horrible stories of why I should stay in Chicago and keep my kids in failing schools in bad neighborhoods and turned out to be the best decision that we made. Our children certainly flourished. And I was a liberal living in Chicago. I moved to DuPage County, and I joked that they must have put something in my water. But in all seriousness, you just become more mature. And the closer I got to my faith and returned to my Christian faith, because I wasn't always walking in the light, I realized that the Republican Party most aligned with my values, and I could be unashamedly Christian without worrying about offending someone who thinks it's okay to kill babies, you know, sitting next to me at a rally. And so it was just this, you know, passion that I started listening to talk radio because my husband bought a car that only had an AM radio, and he kept promising to put in the FM radio. And at the time I was a professional, I would get my nails done downtown, and my nail technician told me to listen to a rap station on AM, and I'm looking at her like, okay. But somehow I found talk radio. And I was a reluctant listener. I listened because I thought it was entertaining, but I thought those people were crazy. It happened to be WLS, the station that I work for now. And after listening and just, you know, yelling at my radio because I thought all the hosts were completely crazy because they were Republicans, it just finally one day I heard myself screaming, you know, tell them or you're right on or something. And I'm like, wait, did I say that? But I must admit it took me a little bit longer to jump on the Rush Limbaugh train. Whenever he would come on, I would turn off the station because I'm thinking, oh, he doesn't speak my language. And eventually I became a big Rush Limbaugh fan, as I am now, and he's still on the station. But it was just a long process, and it was just very obvious to me that the Republican Party is where I needed to be. And I know some people don't like a party affiliations, and I'm not happy with our party right now, but that's the fundamental core and the beliefs and the foundation of what the Republican Party represents. It's an obvious choice for me, and the fact that I happen to be a black woman from Chicago, from the ghetto and Obama's hometown. And, you know, some people immediately, you know, the slings and arrows at me, how dare you sell out or whatever. But, you know, I'm just so happy that I was born in this package, and I didn't know God's plan for me. So many years, I've never wanted to be anything but a black person and a black woman. I'm not trying to be white, as some people accuse me of being. I just think it's the party that that the more black people should be embracing. And I know that's something that the Republican Party is examining or being criticized for not reaching out to black people enough. And our tent is big, it's welcome to everyone. And I don't like the whole idea that we have to reach out to people. Everybody's welcome in any party. And if you just look at the fundamental values of a party, you align with that party. And no one reached out to me and came to my door and said, hi, Stephanie, I'm from the Republican Party, we want more black people. It just made sense to me that that's where I belonged. And when I go to a Tea Party rally, and sometimes there are more blacks and sometimes there's not, it doesn't matter to me because I can walk into a Democratic situation and they're all black in the neighborhood. And just because of who I am, they won't accept me. Whereas at the Republicans, they're just there and they're happy and they're just, you know, we're just all happy to be, you know, just celebrating the liberty and freedom of being an American. And it's not so much about black and white. It's, to me, it's more about red, white, and blue and what this country was built on.
It's about the principles for sure. And I want to bring up your upbringing with a single mother basically in the hood. Because I want to talk about your mother's unique approach to raising children. It reminds me of Ben Carson's personal experience as well. And the reason I bring this up in this comparison is because I believe that's where the solutions lie. We'll get your take in seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Stephanie Tressel, talk show host in her own right from Chicago.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained, we teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org. Are you a business owner who offers high-quality products, services, or solutions? Do you love America and want your business to support a freedom-loving cause that will help defend the Constitution? Well, if the above describes your company, then I want to connect you with my loyal and like-minded listeners. Contact me at RestoreTheRepublicShow.com, and I will personally consult with you to build a sponsorship package that will grow your business. Support a message of freedom and become a sponsor of the Restore the Republic Show today. Together, we will restore the Republic.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Stephanie Tressel, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, does a talk show in Chicago. She grew up with a single mother on the west side of Chicago, in the hood, I guess you could call it. But she's, you know what?
For sure.
She's taken life by the horns and decided that she wants more in her life. And, man, she's got it. She's a well-known talk show host. But I bring up your example because I think your mother did some unique things. Ben Carson's mother did some unique things. And I believe there are the seeds for solutions is why I bring it up, Stephanie.
You know, I always think that it's the parent's responsibility to make sure your kid is exposed to a quality education. And being from Chicago, and I hear them fighting with the Chicago Teachers Union or the Chicago's board, and it's all about money and what the teachers are getting. And I always tell people on my show, you have the responsibility to make sure your kid gets a quality education, because the average ACT score in Chicago is 17. So you move your kids to a suburb or a town where the education is a better quality. But my mom, when she's spending money on tuition and returning our television with pliers, or driving an old car because she made the sacrifice to pay our tuition, you don't go to school and goof around and waste your mother's money. You go there to try to get good grades, because there's so many other things she could have been doing with her money. And her friends were very vocal. Oh, Regina, why is your car so old, or why are you spending that money? And it was just, for her, it was no question. If she had the opportunity to make sure that we had a better education, she was going to take that. And then it didn't matter to her what she had to give up. And my mother's mother died when she was 13. So I always would like to believe that had she had her mother around and not gone to foster care, maybe she wouldn't have had me at 17. But I don't say this to put my mother down. I say it because there's so many people in this situation. But that's what's so great about this country of second opportunities. As long as you stay focused, and I think about people that get in the situation, you've got kids, and all of a sudden, what are you going to do? You're single. And there's so many programs that you can temporarily use, and they're not meant for you to live on forever, Section 8. And my mother somehow managed to put us through Catholic schools and all the extra stuff we did, dancing classes and scouts, without ever living in government housing. And she just, again, just didn't have to sit down and tell us this is how you do it. She just showed us every day, and always improving her art, always wanting to be the best and get promoted, and moving us from one apartment and then to a better apartment. I just watched her do that. And my sister and I both went out and got jobs at McDonald's when we were 15. We actually had our mother, and I don't know if we can get prosecuted for this. She doctored our birth certificate so we could start work early. We couldn't wait to get out and help our mom so we could buy the Calvin Klein jeans. And we didn't want to ask her for money to buy whatever was trending. And we both started working. My sister maybe at 14, and I know I was 15. And I just didn't, I didn't think about it. I went to school, and then my senior year, my mom came to me and said, I'm at this Catholic school. I've been in a private school since second grade, and I'm at this all-girls school with my senior year. And she says, I don't have the money. I'm sorry, I can't pay your tuition. You'll have to transfer to a public school. And in Chicago, the public schools are horrible, especially ones in the neighborhood that we were living in. My sister had the privilege of going to the same school that Michelle Obama went to. One of her friend's mother got her into this great school. My sister's a great student. She did very well there. So I just decided to stop buying like Calvin Klein jeans and whatever trending things I was buying, and decided to pay my tuition. And it even gave me more of an understanding of how important this education was when I decided, and I was working at McDonald's. My paychecks would be every 2 weeks, maybe $239. I'd go to the currency exchange, cash the check, and I'd have to get a money order for, you know, maybe 75% of what I just made over the last 2 weeks. It was just the last 6 months or so of me being in high school. But I truly appreciated what was being sacrificed for me. And my last tuition payment, I'll never forget, that the nun put a smiley face and, you know, like final payment, because I was late, and but they knew I was going to pay it. And I just really felt a sense of accomplishment being able to say that I could help my mother, because she had done so much for us. And it wasn't a big deal for me to decide, okay, let me spend my money on my tuition.
And here's the cool part. They were willing to work with you on that too, weren't they?
Oh, they were really nice. And the nuns, and I joked that I was raised by nuns. I really had the privilege of being in the ghetto, but these nuns and the priest and this little parish that we went to really made us feel just protected and just in a different environment and considering what was going on around us. Here we are in the midst of all this poverty, and we have fundraisers and just walk the neighborhood doing different things, selling cookies. And it was just an experience that I certainly wanted my children to have. And unfortunately, by the time I had children, the same neighborhood that I could go grow up in and walk to the bus stop and feel comfortable, that wasn't the same. You know, in Chicago right now, they have these people that walk children to school via safe passage routes. They pay these people whatever, $10 an hour, to walk kids through these gang-infested neighborhoods to make sure they get to school safely. And I think in the 70s, it was my mother who felt we developed too fast and walking to the bus stop. We'd get people like giving us catcalls. She would walk us to the bus stop and say, get away from my daughter. She's only 12. And I'm thinking nowadays the government has to make sure your kids get to school through these gang infested neighborhoods. And it's just, you know, as I tell people on my show as often as I can, the people that are listening in Chicago and they're suffering. And because every day in Chicago, I just hate to even look in the news feed of what's going on, children getting shot. And I say to people, if you can, save your money, sacrifice, get rid of cable, drive an old car like my mother did and like my husband and I did, made the sacrifice and decided to move our children to a suburb where the schools are great and they can ride their bikes in the street and nobody's treating you differently because you're a different color. And I lived in what people call a lily white suburb for 20 years before moving to Phoenix. And, you know, I've had to listen to all my family members and friends that told me, don't move to DuPage County, it's much too white, your children will never feel comfortable. I would have never experienced what I had for the 20 years that I was there. My son was prom king. My daughter got all kinds of accolades and just got an academic scholarship to a private university, and just so on and so forth. And I just live in the American dream, and no one really cared that I was black. As a matter of fact, more people were upset with me for being a Republican, but we made sure our grass was cut and we all cheered for each other's kids at the football game. And that's the America that I live in, not the one that Obama and people on the other side of the aisle like to describe America as this racist place. And
I want to ask you about this. If you grew up, if you spent your time as an adult choosing to live in a lily white neighborhood, as they put it, and they say that you'll never be accepted, but it turns out that, hey, you spent time with many people, you built friendships, you obviously lasted, children obviously did very well. Why does the black community in the hood believe that we're all racist if you've proven different?
So interesting. Yes, you know, it's like they keep them needy and dependent on the donkey plantation party from cradle to grave by telling them that they'll never accept you and they really never liked you and they're all racist, and it's just this fear. And it's so interesting. I went to this small little grade school, and then I went to high school in a very white, where the KKK used to march through the park right there, Marquette Park in Chicago, and it's a great place, whatever. And so here I am, first day of school, freshman year, had only been around black people in my school, and only people that were white were the nuns and the priests in my school. So I'm terrified on the bus to, you know, I'm there like a nerd so early in the neighborhood. The last time I had been in that neighborhood bowling with the Girl Scouts, and we were standing at the bus stop, and somebody rolled by and called us the N-word. So this is my only experience in the neighborhood that my mother forces me to go to this school in, which is a great school. And I think about that experience and how much fun I had in the 4 years, even once I got over that and I met some amazing people. And fast forward 30 years later, I'm planning a reunion for my grade school. And because I'm Republican, I get kicked out of the reunion group that I started, because how dare she be a Republican and go against Obama. And then my high school were mostly white. There were only 15 black freshmen out of 100 and something. These women, I call them girls, but these women welcome me and support me, even though they're all Democrats mostly. And somebody had said to me when I was standing on the bus stop in my uniform in the white neighborhood, trying to hurry up and get on the bus before the all-boys school got out and the boys would ride by and call his name, that I would feel more comfortable in that setting than I would be in my own with my own people, just because of my policies and what I believe in. But
So hold on a minute. You're telling me that color doesn't matter, but principle is what the key is?
Yes. Apparently that's what's so important. And it just amazes me that now that, you know, the script has flipped and I feel more comfortable, because I was very afraid of white people, because I just was fearful that, again, like you said, they're racist. They're going to get me and whatever. And I'm thinking, once I got over that and my mother forcing me to go to this all-girl school in this neighborhood, it turned out to be a great experience. It's just because, again, 30 years later, I have these amazing friendships that people just look at me because I'm Stephanie. And even though they don't agree with me politically, just like the kids from my grade school, well, they're adults now, but they don't shun me and tell me, you know, kick me out of a group that I started just because I didn't vote for Obama.
America, you got to dig it, ladies and gentlemen. Stephanie Trussell riding shotgun today. The Stephanie Trussell Radio Talk Show in Chicago. We're talking about it on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The radio station in Chicago is 89 WLS. Stephanie Tressel's show is on that station Sunday evenings, and she talks about things from a Republican, conservative perspective. Very interesting who she broadcasts to in Chicago. Very interesting that she is black, and she believes that education is one of the great keys to success. Boy, do I concur. The principle is the point of discussion, and when people have the same principles and values, they feel comfortable together, regardless of color. And if they don't have the same principles, they don't feel comfortable together. That's maybe why I don't feel too comfortable around a lot of the congressmen and senators, even if they're white. That's why I support David A. Clark Jr., who's the black sheriff in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's a Democrat, he's black, but he's right as rain on the issues, and he's a friend of mine. And so the point is principle trumps color, is the point. And so Kurt has an interesting study, my co-host. I'm going to have him break it down, Stephanie, then we'll get your response. Kurt?
Okay. Well, yeah, and this just shows you where we spend our money, because, for example, this is funded by a grant, you know, and that's just free money, from the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. Also, the Ford Foundation, you know, that's, I guess, the car guys, their pre-doctoral fellowship and a National Science Foundation pre-doctoral fellowship funded this thing where they wanted to find out, hey, how do little kids think about this whole race idea? And this was up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, up there at the university. Anyway, they did this study, and they say, according to this study, white preschoolers often believe a person's race can change over time. And the youngsters even think they can grow up to become black adults. Now, they go into the details. They tell you they used 74 children, 28 adults. I don't know why the numbers. They said they recruited the children mostly in the Midwest at museums, and the adults were recruited online. I mean, who knows why, but, you know, it's just your government at work, most of it, and the big foundations. But they say white adults, you know, the older ones, you know, et cetera, they didn't fall for this. But little kids, 5 to 6 year olds, they would select, you know, that, hey, it really didn't matter. You know, they might change and grow up to be a different color. Now, what points out, what it points out to me to be, is that until we mess them up with most of our, you know, kind of media and stuff, they view people as people and not really worry about color. What do you say, Stephen?
It's so interesting. I'm thinking about when I was 5 and 6, I was still looking behind the TV to see how I Dream a Genie and Bewitched got inside that box. So, I mean, kids that age, you know, it's a God bless them that you think that they can grow up to do anything. And
right.
I just wonder about the money spent on these type of studies. But it's so interesting. And I lived in this cocoon where I knew everybody for 20 years in this small town because I volunteered and just became a member of the community. And then when my husband got an opportunity for this job in Phoenix, where I happened to broadcast from my home, one of my dear friends, who's an Obama Knight, which is what I call people that voted for him twice, she put me on a three-way caller with a friend of hers that had just moved to the Phoenix area a couple years ago. And immediately the first thing he said to me was, there are no black people in Phoenix. And I thought, well, gosh, we're going to be the first ones, I guess. I don't know. There were no black people. He's a Democrat, and it's all about identity politics and feeling comfortable. And he's trying to help me feel more comfortable by telling me where I can go and be around other black people. And I told him, I said, well, I'm a Republican, and I'm not really welcome in all these places that that he happened to list. And so in effort to get to know people, I went on to Meetup, which sounds to me, Meetup is an app, like I thought it was like a dating site, but it actually, you put in your interests and you meet people with like-minded interests. And back at home, I had made cards for soldiers, this great charity. And so I found a group of women making cards, and I thought, I'll go there. And I love making cards, especially for people serving our country. And I walk in, and I'm the only black person in the room. There's 40 women, and we're making cards, and I sit at a table. Some of them happen to be from Chicago, have a great experience. This was over a year ago. Love this group of women. The same thing happened when I was trying to find a running group. I went on Meetup. I go there. I walk in, obviously black, and nobody, I've never had any experience in my subdivision, in my neighborhood, my cul-de-sac, where people treated me differently as a result of what color I am. We move in, and we just try to get to know people. And again, that's the identity politics that they use to keep people dependent on the donkey plantation by telling them you're more comfortable in your neighborhood. You're better off there. Don't venture out and go to someplace else. And it was a big life decision for us to leave where we love and to come out to a place 1,700 miles away from our home and start all over.
And it seems to me that it's a no-brainer, though. If you can get a chance to live in a better place where people aren't shooting each other and where it's not a meltdown, who in their right mind wouldn't try to embrace that? Now, by the way, Phoenix is 45% white, 41% Hispanic, and 6% black, just so you know.
I didn't know that. Wow. Okay. And you know what is so funny? There's so many biracial children here. So when I said to that person in response to my friend, I said, well, maybe there are no black people here. They must have been here at some point because I see a lot of half black kids walking around. But
there's about 1.5 million people in Phoenix, Arizona. What percent is 6% of that, Kurt?
Well, it's a pretty good chunk, but like they say, you know, it's a little closer to the Mexican border. And
it's
so
like 100,000 black people. That's quite a few.
That's enough, and I've met, and what even blows me away.
You actually seen one of them over there?
What gets me is that I've been going to so many political group meetings, and I walk in, and again, in DuPage County, I walk in, there's one or two black people that I know, and we joke and stick together because there's not that many in the Republican Party. But I've gone to events where there's so many black Republicans here that I'm just, like, blown away. I'm like, I thought I was special. I was the only one. I walk in, and there's two or three. There's women, there's men. And it's just very interesting. If I listen to the left, and, you know, I would be afraid to walk out my door because there's no one that looks like me. But I'm one of those weird people that enjoy poking the bear. I enjoy being around people that don't agree with me. So since I've been,
I never do that.
I've sought out the Jesse Jackson type to be on my radio show, the ones that are race temp on a smaller basis here in Phoenix compared to where I'm from, where you got Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson. So I enjoy that. I went to my first NAACP meeting at 49 years old. I went there and watch this whole thing, and because I'm always curious as to what they're doing in 2015, 2016 now. What, you know, liberation?
They always seemed racist to me, though.
Oh, completely, completely. It was just so ridiculous, and I never went back. And I just shake my head that people spend so much money or donate to an organization that basically is useless, but it's okay. It's a feel good thing. And what my greatest claim to fame is that I never use profanity, and I try to be respectful, but for some reason I've been blocked by the NAACP, by Jesse Jackson, by the head of the teachers union in Chicago on social media because I question them. I dare to ask questions that no one else will. And so when I've been blocked from their sites, it's just kind of a badge of honor for me that everybody should. I was blocked recently by Planned Parenthood. I'm like, yay, you know. So, and again, just asking regular questions, holding them accountable. And I always think if liberal policies worked, if being a Democrat was the way to go, cities like Chicago and Ferguson and Baltimore would be flourishing. They'd be awesome because they've been ruled by Democrats since the 30s. And Republicans in Chicago have no power whatsoever. But, you know, when something happens, they go to the closest white Republican they can blame. And it happens to be the newly elected governor. He's only been governor a couple of years. So no matter what's happening in the city, they blame the governor, even though there's aldermen and other officials and mayors that insulate the governor from having any power. But and that's just so sad to me that people don't even look at facts. And it just makes me sad as a Republican that in Chicago, they're not using this opportunity to recruit more people and say, hey, none of this is working for decades. Come on over to our side. We want school choice. We want to give you an opportunity to have jobs and less government get in the way, make Illinois more job, small business friendly environment. Whereas all the policies in Illinois are running people out of Illinois. We've become the land of leaving and the land instead of the land of Lincoln. And, you know, there's a study that every 10 minutes a working family leaves the state of Illinois. And when I got to Phoenix, I'm like, oh, this is where they all are. You wear anything with Chicago on it, you get stopped every 2-10 feet by someone that fled the city of the state of Illinois as well. And it's just really sad to me that the Democratic Party has such power and such loyalty, as I call liberal color people, and they get nothing in return, but they still, every election Tuesday, go into the booth and don't vote their values. And it blows me away. Growing up in the ghetto, there was a church, a Pentecostal church on every corner, sometimes two, and preaching the word right from the Bible. But then they will go on Tuesday and vote for someone like Obama, who adamantly loves killing babies. Even if you survive an abortion, he wants that baby killed. And this, how do you put your values on a shelf or leave it somewhere else? And when you go in there and make that decision as to who should lead our country or who should lead our neighborhoods or whatever. And that's what blows me away about the fake pastors and preachers that encourage their parishioners. I'm Catholic still. In my mind, I'm thinking Catholic, to vote for someone that goes against everything you're teaching your followers that's right. And that's what really upsets me about the Democratic Party is that they preach a lot of darkness. And if God says it's wrong, how can Obama say it's right to kill a baby? I love the fact that not only do they want to kill babies, they want us to pay for it. How dare we not want to pay for it? But also the whole gay marriage thing, which I'll never forget that was May 2012. And the one redeeming value that Obama had, even though I didn't vote for him, was that he was adamantly against gay marriage. He just kept saying.
But now he's a flip-flopper. Hold on, Stephanie. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Stephanie Tressel, host of the Stephanie Tressel Show in Chicago, on your radio, talking to Sam and Kurt. Now, they like to say we're racist, but I disagree. We stand on principle with anybody who will stand with us. And we reject things that are immoral and violate principle, no matter who is on which side. It's all based on that principle for us. But Stephanie, I got a very controversial question to ask you about. I'm going to set it up, and then I want you to respond if you don't mind.
Okay.
First off, I want you to understand something. I am absolutely 100% unequivocally against slavery of any kind by anybody to anybody. Period.
Okay, good to know.
Okay. However, it has been said by many people that, you know what, slavery was one of the best things that happened to black people. Not that the slavery was good, although that's what it's misrepresented to say, but the idea that, hey, coming to America is a blessing for everyone who ever comes here, regardless of color and regardless of how they got here. So, you know what, set aside the idea that slavery, of course it was horrible and it should have never been done. William Wilberforce got rid of slavery peacefully. We all should. The Founding Fathers set the stage to reject slavery by saying all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. All men. That means everyone. And I agree with that godly principle that we're all children of God. So slavery is heinous. But the idea isn't to say slavery is fine or endorse or even accept slavery. But the idea is to say that America has done more for peoples worldwide good than any other nation in the history of the world, bar none. What do you say?
It's so interesting. I remember thinking this, those very thoughts that as a result of slavery, I get to live in the greatest country of the planet. And I was afraid to say that out loud. And I'll never forget waiting for my mother in front of her house. I remember exactly where I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, who had Dr. Walter E. Williams in for him on a Friday. And he loves to say black by popular demand. He said exactly what I've been thinking, that as a result of slavery, look at how great we're living in this country. And of course, as you said, slavery was a horrible thing, but all the sacrifices, the blood, sweat, and tears of my ancestors that they were willing to give. And one of my favorite movies, 12 Years a Slave, when they open up the movie and they're in bondage, they're in chains, and they're praising God, these are slaves. And I'm thinking, who am I to complain? And just in general, America's such a great country. We're so generous, and anything that happens around the world, we're the first to donate, and we're the first ones on the scenes, and that's just the heart of our country. And that was an ugly stain on our past. But
it was a horrible chapter, no question. That's horrible. Beyond debate.
But I always say, here I am working on WLS, used to be a rock and roll station, and I get to speak very freely, and I'm a black woman. I get to have my own show, and I do what I want to do. And instead of me being in Africa waiting for someone to donate a T-shirt from WLS, I get to live in America, be on WLS, and donate to whatever charity I'd like to be as a result of my ancestors being enslaved here. And to me, it's a waste. And you're sitting around waiting for government handouts, waiting for crumbs from Big Gov table and via these set-aside programs that just keep you needy and dependent on this plantation party, the Democratic Party. It's, to me, it's a waste. You get up, if you got two arms and two legs, and even sometimes people that don't have competent legs still go out. And the word that I used to remember in the 70s, everybody in my neighborhood hustled. They figured out a way to make some money and just work really hard and not sit around and wait to be rescued. Or, and again, I'm not to take away programs. No, no, no. Every program that's there is great to be used temporarily. But if you're living in the housing project that your grandmother lived in and your daughter's applying to get her application, somewhere you went wrong. Because you just the commitment of every generation doing just a little bit better. As I said, my mom didn't get to finish high school till recently when she got her GED. I went to college for about 5 minutes. And then when my daughter graduated from a private university with her master's degree, that's to me the definition of the American dream. Just, you know, just doing a little bit better than the last one, just giving them a little bit more of an opportunity. And that's what's so great. Even if you do things out of order, have kids before you get married, and we don't suggest that. But if you get right back on the path, there's nothing you can't do. And that's what's so great about being an American.
And that's the whole point. And so the statement that says those kind of things about slavery is not in any way to endorse slavery. Oh. We reject it. But it is to talk mm-hmm. about the benefits, the truth, in the position we find ourselves in as a result of our history. And the solutions are for us all to come together and say, listen, the American dream is alive and well. Those people who are willing to buckle down, work hard, and make wise choices, I'm going to say that again, make wise yeah. choices, can absolutely be blessed for their choices in America like no other place on the planet. Now, I also submit to you that the slaves had it bad back in the day. And the first slaves in America were owned by a black person, from what I understand.
You're going to upset some Democrats when you say that.
It's the fact, so they got to get used to it. Right. Deal with it. Right now, but here's the point that I want to make. I think today, at least the slaves back then, you know what? They weren't shooting each other. They weren't killing each other. They believed in God. They worked hard. Now, I'm not suggesting slavery in any way, but I'm making a point. Compared to the projects today, where many of them are starving, many of them have no money, no food. Many of them are raped, pillaged, and plundered. Many of them are shot and abused by their own kind. I'm not so sure that, at least in the projects, that they're even better off now.
That's very interesting, because we think about the Big Gov is the biggest slumlords in the United States. They built these housing complex with the, you know, the dream and the exciting. It's new, it's fresh. And then they, you know, after a while, stop maintaining those buildings. And when I tell people on my show, or when I say that on social media, you should move to the suburbs, and they immediately attack me. You're so out of touch. You know, it's not easy for everyone. I said, you know, we come from ancestors that stowed away in the night, not even without a GPS, without any clue as to if this North really existed, if people were really free up there with their kids, and took every chance just to get some freedom. And you're telling me you can't take your government voucher and move to a better neighborhood? I'm thinking, you know, what do you want? I mean, some people, you can't give them enough because they want you to knock on their door and hand it to them. And it's just no excuse to live in those kind of conditions. Just recently in Chicago, just because we've been doing your break, I'm going on my news feed in Chicago, 15 wounded on Wednesday, 2 dead. Recently in Chicago, a 16-year-old girl stabbed to death by a 13-year-old girl. And when they said where it was on 65th and King Drive, as you know, as they say, anybody on King Drive, there's nothing peaceful going on. I've driven past that housing complex so many times, going from my mother's house to my grandparents' house. And I just keep thinking they were describing this little girl, her parents, as being so bright. And she was a track star. She was an honor student. And I'm thinking, well, get her out of that neighborhood, because she's surrounded by people that don't want what you want for your daughter. And they're not going to be happy that they see this girl standing at the bus stop with her books. They're going to target those kind of people. So they have a responsibility to get their kids out of those situations and move them somewhere where it's okay for them to be an honor student and a track star, and they're not some rarity and just targeted. It breaks my heart every time I see these parents crying and saying what a good kid this was. And I keep thinking, you got to do whatever it takes. Just drive old cars, do without cable, get your kids to a neighborhood where they can hear crickets and not the sirens, and they can go to a great school, and they can ride their bikes, you know, God forbid, from the school to their house without worrying about a safe passage route where someone has to walk you in an orange vest to make sure you get to school.
And I, for one, would like all people to have the American dream, to become Americans. We can only assimilate so many people so fast, so I stand against illegal immigration. But I do stand for shutting the illegal door and opening up an appropriate legal door. People can get a sponsor and come here and not depend on the system, but get a fresh start. I support that. I've driven all the way from Montana to Texas, and there's a lot of room, people. So I'm for that, but I'm for people holding on to their heritage, whether they be black, white, or who they are. I just find that interesting in the double standard mainstream press. I try to point out the good. I try to find ways to bring people together, focus on education, focus on hard work, focus on the American dream, focus on everybody working together as the American people for the dreams and principles that we stand for, but then holding on to their heritage, holding on to their culture, holding on to who they are and where they came from. I think all races ought to do that. And for that, ma'am, they consider me a white supremacist. It's a lie.
You know, and it's so funny, they went from trying to label all white people as racist because they realized that they couldn't just, you know, they had to prove that you were racist in your heart. So it was easier just to come up with this new phrase, white privilege, meaning that you gained, whether you wanted to or not, you were given the advantage of white privilege, as if white people get a basket of money on their doorstep every day just for being white and they don't have to really work for it. And it's just amazing to me that they just don't want, they talk about what's going on in the hood and what we need to do in our community. I listen to liberal black radio all the time, and I'm thinking, what do you mean? They never address and go to the core of what's really wrong, and that's just that they're listening to talk show hosts that blame white people or blame systemic racism in America. And it's just like, get up and go to work. And you can't keep a good man down. All those other things that we've heard repeatedly, it's been proven time and time again, and there's nothing you can do. Once you're born in America, you won a genetic lottery. So the rest of it is all up to you. And I get chills when I think about the opportunities that I have as a result of being born in America. And I think about how God put me in Chicago, born to a single mom, and just everything that all those checklists are supposedly making sure that I wouldn't make it in America. And you know, to liberals, and they feel that being born black is a disability. I'd be better off being killed in my mother's womb because you're going to be born poor to a 17-year-old mother. Oh, no, no. She should take that choice route and kill her baby. And I'm thinking, how awesome is it that my mother decided to give birth to her three children and what we were able to achieve, and that I just get to talk about liberty and freedom and being an American, and what I try to pass it on to my kids, and they certainly give me a hard time. But at the end of the day, because it's just when you're young, you give me a hard time about liberal policies. But it's just such a joy to be able to say that I was delivered from the Democratic Party because I inherited that by being born a black person in Chicago. And now it's just my dream one day is that my son Reagan, who's 11, when it's time for him to vote, that it'll be okay to be a black Republican. It won't be a big deal. You won't, you know.
Amen to that. We're all striving for it. Stephanie Trussell, ladies and gentlemen, well-known talk show host. Look up her name, Stephanie Trussell, on a Chicago radio station Sunday nights. Check it out. Stephanie, we're going to have you back, okay?
Thank you, Sam, and I would love to have you on my show. It's such a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Let's count on it. This nation shall endure.